Welcome to Invasion of Privacy. I'm Kate Wolf, and today I have first-time guest Ariana Fort is here.
Hi.
Thanks for coming.
I'm excited.
Yeah, and so, okay, I'll kind of explain how I know you, which is like an interesting... Okay, so we became Instagram friends, even though I guess that's not really a thing. We followed each other.
Yeah.
Years ago, I guess. Three or four? It's been a while.
It's definitely been a while because my mom was telling me about you, and then you came up on my like people you should know.
Okay.
And I was like, I was like, I should know you. So I made the click.
Okay. So you didn't. Okay. So you followed me, and then, well, okay. So I'll explain. So Ariana is the daughter of Jason and Arlene Schulman of the school I go to that I talk about all the time, but I didn't know. So I posted a picture from an all school meeting with your dad in it. And you were like, and at this point I already liked
oh,
you.
Yeah, that's right.
You were like, that's my dad. And I was like, wait, what? And, cause I had no idea, cause we were already whatever, Instagram friends, Facebook friends, but, we didn't know. I didn't know you were their daughter. So it was just hysterical. And then it's taken us years to finally hang. This is like our...
this is our first time.
Yeah, might as well podcast.
It's our meet cute.
yeah. But I've really enjoyed seeing your Facebook posts and your Instagram posts because it's very clear. So you're a mother to two kids, and then you're also an entertainer. Like you're an actress, and I can just tell you're creative. And I love seeing people who... You know, whether you're a mom or not a mom, I love seeing people who like have that grounded life, but then are going for it. And I can just tell that you know, you're still really like, no, I'm making my dreams come true. I want to make my heart sing. And I think it's, it's been really cool getting to be your Instagram and Facebook friend.
Yeah, no, me too. Especially because obviously you are a creative soul as well in a different area. I do, you know, dramas and Shakespeare and musicals, and you're more of like stand-up comedy. But it's something that I'm so interested in and that I love and find it's such a, I mean, I think it seems hard to do, but.
And you definitely have, I can tell, you have a comedic piece within you. Totally. Like I can feel it. I can see it. And yeah, I just think it's cool. Once I could see you write, I'm already going into stuff. I could see you writing your own play. And I don't know if you've ever done that, but I could totally see that.
Yeah. I mean, I love to write. And I do love comedy, and I have been told that my comedy is one of my stronger suits, I guess. I tend to, when I audition for shows, go for like really depressing dramas.
Okay.
But whenever I do a comedy, my parents are always like, that's what you should be doing. Between, I mean, I don't know. I guess they've always thought my parents think I'm funny.
You know? No, I can tell you are. We were talking before. I won't repeat, but you have some funny, should I say names or whatever? Like you're funny. You have a wittiness, we'll say. And it comes from a place. I can't hang with people who don't have at least a slight dark sense of humor, because life is not what you think it's going to be necessarily when you're a little kid. And I think, at least for me, and I'm sure for you too, humor has gotten me through so many of the bumps. Like if you're in a dark place and you can't have some light or humor in it, it becomes too heavy. So,
well, I completely agree, because it's sort of like, you know, the saying like, I'm going to laugh because I'll cry if I don't.
Yeah.
You know, but it's one of those things that if you can't sort of take a step back and look at the humor of how horrible things are, but that we're still here and you still have to keep going and can I curse? I don't know.
Oh my God, yes.
Like, you'd be like, what the fuck is going on? But like,
yeah.
I just got to keep taking this fucking train wherever it's going to lead me.
Yeah.
But you just have to keep going, because life is crazy and you have to have the humor behind it, or else things just get too serious too fast. So.
Yeah. Meanwhile, she's saying this, and my dog Jada is just loving Ariana so much. She's not giving... You could totally tell her to get off your lap if you want. She's just like totally statued on your lap.
No, I love her.
Okay,
it's a
good.
Little cuddle buddy.
Yeah. She's like, hi, friend. Well, it actually reminds me. So your dad has a book and just the Magi process that I haven't studied too much, but I never remember the exact step, but it's like there are sunlit roads woven between the darkness. I definitely did not nail it, but it's in that thing. It's like, I've taken that in of when I'm in my darkest, deepest places, I'm like, okay, there are still sunlit roads. There's light in this, even if I can't feel it at the moment. But it's so hard. You know, so many of us struggle with depression, anxiety, you know, physical things that we don't talk about. And I think a lot of us, I can feel a shift happening where we're like, I got to talk about it. Like, even men are hitting a point of like, I'm not happy. Like, I need to talk. Like, we're changing to this place. It's like, if I don't connect and really share what's going on, I'm going to burst. And I did a status yesterday that was like, my podcasts are about to get real good because I'm not going to protect any people anymore who aren't willing to protect me. And that was like a rather feisty way of saying it. I'm not really here to blow anyone's shit up. But it's also being like, we don't have to hold back for whoever it is. You know, like, we have to do it gracefully and carefully. But I think we're all, and I know just because we talked before, we're getting to a point where it's like, I need my truth to be seen. I need changes. I need to be happy, and I deserve it.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, we were just talking earlier about, you know, similar situations that we're both going through regarding family and marriage and everything like that. And one thing that I've always said to my husband, since we started dating, was that, like, we have one life. You have to make it your happiest.
Yes.
And there's no way for it to be your happiest if you're not talking about it, if you're not talking through the bad, talking through the good. And of course, looking for good moments, even in my worst moments, I try to see, okay, well, but where's the good? Where's the silver lining? What's happening around me that's going to come to me that's good from this, even if it's like a really shitty moment? But I truly, truly believe that. I truly believe that, like, this world kind of sets us up to not live our happiest lives right now. We have so many financial worries. We have so many, you know, people doing jobs that they don't like and that they're not interested in. And really, like, you want to be happy.
Yeah.
And you have to figure out sort of how to accomplish that in a world that's sort of setting you up to have the opposite. Like, how do you set yourself up to live your happiest life? Do you have to change what makes you happy? Or do you start talking about it more and be more honest with people? Do you start living a life that's not exactly as, I guess I'll say, like, Leave It to Beaver type style?
Which no one really has.
No,
right?
Of course not. You know, so, like, I mean, I don't know the answers, but it's stuff I'm thinking about. So,
well, I had a client last night, and I won't share too much of what he said because I can't. But I can say, in terms of what you're saying, I think when people are feeling absolutely stuck, like, I am not happy, how the fuck in this moment do I shift it? I think just starting there, it's talk about it, cry it out. Admitting the unhappiness is something that's so brave and that most people are terrified of doing, because especially if externally things look a certain way or they have looked perfect, but then on the inside it's not matching. I think people are so scared and ashamed to be like, actually, this is what's really going on, because we're scared to tell the person who's also been acting like their life is perfectly together. And I think when we start really getting honest, which your dad's works and your mom is about authenticity, it's like, this is me. Like, maybe I look depressed or crazy or whatever we're scared of, but, like, I can't help, like, and I, that's where I hit kind of yesterday and the day before, where I'm like, I can't tuck this in. Like, I'm me. This is me. If those who like it are going to stay in or come in, and those who don't like me, then they can kindly leave. But, like, I think we're all, not all of us, some people are, you know, digging their heels in and saying, I'm not going to change. But those of us who want to evolve, we're like, okay, what do I need to do to really feel, quote unquote, happy, whatever that word means, or just me, to feel like me? And it's a struggle, but thank God some of us are connecting and sharing it so we don't go fucking insane.
Well, and that's the thing. I think a lot of us have gone insane, and that's why we're at the point where we are. Like, when I first, my son is 9 years old now. I was the first one of my friends to get pregnant and have a baby, so I didn't know what I was doing. I was just like, here's this thing. I'm 26 years old. I mean, no, I wasn't 16 or anything, but I was young compared to my New York City friends. And nobody told me how hard it was going to be, not even my parents, because you do forget the bad times sometimes, you know, especially women. I think that we tend to, I don't know, maybe it's nature, but I do think that we tend to forget hard times so that we can keep going. And nowadays, like when I'm looking on Facebook, when I'm looking on blogs, I see women talking about how hard parenting is. I see women talking about that it's just shitty sometimes. It doesn't mean we don't love our kids. It doesn't mean that we wouldn't throw ourselves in front of a bus for our children to save them. But to hold all of that hardship in and not talk about it with anyone, you feel so alone. And even if you're talking with someone else about how depressed you feel, it starts to make you feel a little bit better about yourself because you realize you aren't alone in it. Because especially nowadays with Instagram and with Facebook and documenting the happy moments with as many filters as you can put on, everyone thinks that's what life is. So I think it's really important to, you know, really, even more so than people are doing, speak your truth and be honest and not feel like you're going to be judged, I guess, for saying some of those things.
Exactly. It's, and because that judgment, the self-judgment is the deepest, right? Where you're like beating yourself up for just doing something that was you. Even if it was an acting out moment or something, it's like we get so ashamed that we weren't perfect. And that just doesn't exist for anyone. And yet we're holding ourselves to this standard. And it's like, it's what you're saying. It's like just talking about it starts to move it. It starts to change the thing. And I think I'm just so grateful that I kept going. I mean, the other option, suicide, and that wasn't really ever an option for me or for you. I mean, who's it an option for? But unfortunately, some people do end up doing that stuff. But for me, I'm just glad I kept having faith that things could shift, because it does make the difference when you meet another person going, oh, I'm there too. Like, I'm sick of lies. I'm sick of holding back and feeling bad all the time and that I have to fix everything. It's like, you know, women and men together are trying to learn, how can I be me? And I have to say, like, everyone needs to get fucking creative or something, like whatever creative means to you. Like, if you're not writing, drawing, creating music, act, something like it, that energy gets held in. Like, we're all still little children inside. And, you know, even if we're a mom, like, we want to also feel free. We want to also follow our dreams while telling our kids to do the same. And I just think it's beautiful that even, yeah, like some of the mom blogs are finally, like everyone's finally admitting this shit's hard.
Yeah, because it is. you know, it's like, and how do I put this? Back in the 50s, you know, my mom would tell me stories about how when she was 8 years old, she would, I don't think she'd mind me sharing this, she would wake up and her parents would just be gone. There would be a note saying, hey, we went to a party. She was eight. Her little brother was probably, well, she had two younger brothers. And so she would just be left, you know, and not that that is the correct way to parent necessarily either. But eight's nowadays, a little young. Yeah, eight's a little young. I mean, my mom was always mature for her age, but, you know, I mean, it does change the child too, you know, the responsibility that they have. But we had kids in the 50s who were growing up too fast. And now we have children who are not growing up at all, because we aren't allowed to let our children be children, really. I mean, I'm trying to figure out how to say this. You know, I mean, there's the helicopter parenting, and now we have lawnmower parenting.
What's lawnmower parenting?
Lawnmower parenting is when you basically do everything for your child. Like, there's parents out there that are writing their kids' college essays and writing their papers for them and doing their projects for them, so that you basically just, like, lawnmower over them. Like, they're not even a thing. Like, you just take care of everything.
Oh.
You know, helicopter is sort of like you're hovering, being like, oh, don't do that. Don't climb the tree. You might get hurt. You know, lawn mowing, you just like kind of go straight across them. And
oh my gosh. Well, I love that you brought that up, actually, because we think often we're helping, not just with kids, but like partners, spouses, friendships. Like, when we want to take the wheel for them and like, you know, I'll fix this for you, you know, it's like, then we're lawn mowing spousing too. It's like, because you think, oh, I'll do this all for you. You're welcome. But the kid or whoever's like, we're all here to learn our lessons for ourselves. And if we take the other person's wheel, then it's like, I mean, my ex-boyfriend used to say to me, focus on your own damn lane, you know, because I always wanted to look at what he was doing. You know what I mean? And we, so many of us fall into this, especially I think women, I'm sure men do too, but like, it's like, let me fix your life. Let me fix this. And then I'll be happy. We actually talked about it once again in class with your mom and dad. And it's so hard for us to go with anything external, job, friendships, and just go in and be like, okay, what the fuck do I need to do to shift this?
Well, I mean, and do you think that we do that because then we don't really have to focus on what we're having to deal with ourselves? It's like, well, I have to take care of you. You know, you didn't do any of this stuff. How are you feeling? You know, oh, how can I help you feel better? Like, and then all of a sudden we make it so much about someone else that like we don't actually have to look inside and see what we need to deal with for ourselves.
Yeah, right? It's funny because it doesn't actually help us, right?
No, it doesn't. No, of course not.
Because in the long run, we all just want to feel satisfied and happy. But yeah, I do. And I'll tell you, this is part of one of the things I'm going to share that I'm going to share very delicately. But when I was in class, it was my first graduate school weekend. It's your parents teaching, which I hadn't planned. I didn't know. You know what I mean? Like, it's so funny how synchronicity and timing works. But so in one of the meditations, an old repressed memory came up. I'm trying not to put a story to it and jump too hard to conclusions, but it was of me getting beat at 1 year old by, I believe, my mother. I talked to her about this. She says that never happened. She has no memory of that. However, she also had no memory. So let me explain. So this is what I'm going to very carefully talk about, because I want to share this. It happened to my mother, but it directly happened and affected me. But I want to share it with as much humility as possible, but I don't want to fully hold it in like I have been. So okay. So the memory came up of me getting beat at one. She didn't have memory of it, but she also, her father did unimaginable things to her growing up. I'm sure people can guess, you know, he did horrific things. She repressed that memory until I turned 6, which was the age she had started getting. So I'm trying my best here, people. And I'm sorry, Mom. I love you, but I can't hold all this in. As she recovered that memory when I hit the age, so much of her rage and anger, what happened to her, came out on me and my brother. I got it in a certain way, though, because there was, you know, unconscious entanglement and enmeshment that happened between me and my father, where I became, in a sense, a replacement wife, not like in a, you know, it does leave ramifications, but it wasn't, you know, nothing quote unquote weird like went down there. But it became this thing where I was almost in the middle. As she recovered this memory, I got anger, but I was also treated like this mistress almost, to be honest. And then my dad gets remarried to my stepmom, and that household was also very, very cold. My mom's house wasn't cold, but that house had a whole other thing. So I really never felt like I had a place to go, and suffered a lot of abuse because my mom, my poor mother, although she still had a choice, you know, was dealing with these things rising up, and she even almost tried to convince me that my dad had done stuff to me. Because there was emotional entanglement, she tried to throw in some stuff, which fucked me up, because then I spent my whole life questioning what did happen. Like, you know, so the memory of me getting beat, even though she doesn't remember it, she at that point hadn't even remembered what had happened to her. So uncovering that memory for me, it was really sad and intense and yet liberating, because I remembered the thoughts coming with it of like, this is life. This is what I've manifested here to feel, this woman I call mother. And once again, she said this never happened, you know, but whether that happened or not, I do believe it did. I was verbally and emotionally and sometimes physically, like posh on the tokas, but extreme. I don't even want to go there, but you know what I mean? I suffered a lot, and I never really felt safe being here. So I often played either too big or too small. And something when that came up was like, oh, I'm just going to really be me. Like I'm not going to get beat anymore. And it was hard even saying this now, because I feel awful, right? It's like I said this and now, because I don't want to hurt my mom. I love her. And people denied when she came out and started telling her story. Basically everyone except really me and my brother and a couple of her friends thought she was crazy and making it up. And then I was in this, you know, because she was acting quote unquote crazy at the time, but that's because she was uncovering these things. But it was really fucked up for people to deny it for her sake, for my sake. And now, you know, people are remembering, including her sister, about what happened, but who had previously denied. And it's really been fucked up. You know, thank you for letting me share this, Ariana. Well,
of
but
course.
It's part of, you know, and I just wanted to share because I did do the status and I am trying my best to share more of what I went through. I'm going to cry. It's okay. You know,
it's okay to cry.
I know. I'm just, it's hard to talk about because you feel like you're betraying. And I love her and I'm so sorry for what she went through. And yet I suffered so much of her pain and anger. And I'm trying to heal it. And I'm so grateful I found the school and you and so many of good friends. But it's like, it's so hard telling your truth and then feeling like you're hurting your mom or your dad or your stepmom or son or, you know. But at the end of the day, I hit a point yesterday where I was like, I can't hold things in, even if it means people are mad at me. It's too much. And I know so many people are holding in things. So I'm trying to, if I'm going to have a podcast about speaking your truth, I felt like, well, I have to find a way to help lead the way, but I'm trying my best to do it as respectfully and gracefully. And I'm not here to ruin anyone's life. And my mother is a beautiful soul who has tried, we've been through a lot and I honor her, you know, and I wanted her to come on and talk about it herself. And I'm sure she will when she's ready, but I hit a point for my own sake and sanity where I was like, I have to go a little bit deeper into what I went through. So thank you for being here for that
of course.
Moment. Yeah. And I almost want to apologize for crying, but I was literally telling my client last night to not apologize for crying. So.
Well, yeah, you shouldn't apologize for it. It's something I'm working towards as well, is that I say I'm sorry a lot for things that I shouldn't really be sorry for, things that, you know, to speak my truth, since you so graciously shared something, you know, I'm going through a separation with my husband who... I know that sounds very normal for this day and age, but nonetheless, it's still confusing and sad and disheartening because Kate knows my parents, but they have had their issues, but they've been together almost 50 years and they are like sickeningly still in love.
They're so in love.
They're so yeah. in love. Like, and my father's done so much work on himself to get to be who he is. My mother's done so much work on herself to become who she is. And one thing that they always taught me was to say sorry, actually, you know, but only if you've done something wrong. And I think a lot of us have taken it to an extreme where we, like, sometimes I hear the word come out of my mouth and I'm saying, like, why am I saying sorry for this?
Yeah.
Like, why am I trying to just diffuse the situation? Am I really sorry? Like, what is it about me that I feel the need to apologize? And I'm not talking about apologizing to my kids, because if I do something, if I scream at them, if I get frustrated, I do believe as a parent you need to be able to say sorry and that, hey, this isn't your fault. This was something that is in me. I'm talking about, like, with friends, with spouses, in that sort of situation. Where, like, I'll be crying or upset because I was hurt by my husband or he did something that really, I'm a very sensitive soul and that really kind of shook me. And then I'll be sitting there apologizing for the fact that I got hurt. And it's like, it's a real emotion. And I don't know where it happened that I feel that it's not okay to sort of share those emotions. And like you're doing right now, like even though you're, you know, beautifully and protectively telling this story, you're still feeling that need to apologize for something that is literally the most human emotion that we can probably actually feel.
Yeah.
I think crying, we do it when we're happy, we do it when we're sad, we do it when we're scared, we do it, you know, it's human, you know, being human is hard and that's okay. But again, I feel like we're at this point where we're apologizing for being human and that's all we can ever be. We can't be something else.
Amen. And it's this thing of protecting people and then it harming you and thinking that we're being compassionate or kind, you know, your parents talk all the time about compassion, and I had to do work about, if I don't have compassion for myself, then obviously I can't have it for these, for other people that I'm trying to protect by hurting me is helping no one. And I'm still scared to share a lot about my current situation. You know, I've told my listeners that I confessed love to someone that I still feel that way about. And yet I haven't been able to really share my side of the story publicly because I don't want to, quote unquote, take anyone down. And I'm not saying I'm going to right now. I don't know even how to talk about my situation because, you know, you want to respect privacy. And yet it comes to a point where I'm like, well, when does my story get heard? And I don't know yet. You know, for me today, sharing about the mom stuff, I think is like a pretty, you know, like I'm not going to push it, but like, it's really hard. And all of us need to like come together in that, that we're all protecting. I think, yeah, collectively, we're all protecting something. It's like other people's secrets or our parents' things. And I think once again, like, not everyone has a podcast, you know, so but I'm just grateful. And part of why I was crying, I was like, oh, I just got to say this. And I got to say it by podcasting with a friend that I, you know, it's so funny because we've been friends, but like not friends, but friends for years, you know. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, I get to sit next to someone so sensitive going through her own stuff and share this, you know, weight off my chest while, and I'm glad you're here for it. Because if I tried to do this by myself, I would have felt like a piece of shit, you know, like it's like, you know, now I'm going to be like, oh shit, I'm a bad girl. I hurt my mom, but I got really badly hurt, you know, in both households, and the denial of her truth and me having to keep all the, me having to go to school, you know, my mom, they were going to possibly, she was going to possibly go into a mental institution for a bit because that's how bad it got, you know, because she comes out with this thing and no one's believing her and she's acting out. And then she looks like this bad mother. Meanwhile, she's going, you know, so it's all of our, you know, my secrets, her secrets, all of our secrets becomes all of our pain. And as long as like someone was like, oh, what are you going to talk about tomorrow? Are you going to blow it up or whatever? And I mean, a part of me in the moment was like, ah, but the truth is like, I don't want anyone. I want this to be a moment for all of us in deep suffering to say, okay, this is my truth. This is what I'm going through to the degree you want, because I'm still here, still not sharing the full thing because, you know, I don't feel it's respectful totally, but I'm trying. But I'm really appreciative you're here for this because it's not an easy thing. And I love watching how gracefully and honestly you're sharing what you're going through. And, you know, with your separation, it's a trial separation, right?
It's a trial separation right now. I mean,
we'll call, you know, who knows what's going to happen.
Which is the scariest thing, actually, you know,
and free at the same time. It's like scary. And yet I think, and I don't want to share too, I'll let you, you know, but I think what we're all going through in terms of what you're going through too, is like saying, I want to be happier. I want to be more fulfilled. I want to live a life where I have a partner that fully meets me there and fully wants to be here. And you want, even outside of that, you just want to be happy. You want to have the energy to give to your kids, to follow your passion, because you're clearly so talented and you just have a presence about you. So you want, you know, you're here to live and to enjoy it. And I think that's where we're all at. So it's like sharing our truth isn't about fucking people over. I mean, it will fuck the people over who are desperately trying to keep things hidden. But those of us who are really invested in exploring truth in ourselves, we will all benefit from sharing in this tender place of what we're struggling with and what we've been keeping inside, thinking we're nuts or something.
Yeah, I mean, that's one thing that my husband and I are very different on. I was raised very much to talk about everything. And, you know, I don't, not to sound bad, but I don't know if it's more of like an ethnic thing or something. Like, he's very WASPy in a great way. His family literally came over on the Mayflower. He's about as American and white as you can get. And his family is amazing. His sister's amazing. His mom's amazing. But they don't talk about things. You know, they talk about each other behind each other's backs, but they don't say it to anyone's face. My parents, we were raised, you just say everything, yell it if you have to, and then, you know, deal with it.
That's my style, obviously. I mean, but
so I'm trying, you know, I'm trying to see it from his side. You know, this is a trial separation due to I would say, I'm not putting it all on him, but due to the fact that living with one person forever is hard, learning to change with a person is hard, you know, the fact that, again, as I mentioned before, that I don't think life is super setting up people for success with how they ask us to deal with things and how work is and the pressures that are on people to be successful in whatever way you want to be successful. I think that does take away from people's creativity. You sort of have to submerge that unless you somehow are making, you know, a living at it, which you're very lucky that you get to do that.
My ass off to, because, like, you know, when people say that, I'm like, trust me, it has been terrifying. When I quit teaching, I was fetal position Kate. You know what I mean? Like, I just have to say that too. It's like, we can all do this, but it is fucking terrifying to break free of that, what you're talking about, this conformative thing of like, this is how life has to be. And then your soul slowly dying, but everyone's like, no, no, something's wrong with you that you want more. And it's like, it's hard to break out of that, especially when I quit my teaching job with like a good salary and benefits. I lost some friendships over it. One of them came back, but some people thought I was like a bad mom. Like I, you know, you get it. And yet that's why those of us wanting more have to communicate and stick together. We support each other through these things and through people's criticisms of us trying to break free out of that conformity.
Well, yeah, I mean, it makes me, I had such a reaction when you just said that people judged you for being a bad mom. Like, that made me so upset and angry. I have a lot less tolerance for people these days as I used to.
That's amazing.
I used to just really have so much tolerance for whatever anyone said. And now I'm sort of like, shut the fuck up. I don't have anything else. It's like, period. Shut the fuck up, period.
Yeah, it's like, why waste any more energy than shut the fuck up on? Because some of these, I've had to block on Facebook certain people that want to just, do you know what I mean? Just on an article I post, and I'm just like, block. Like, I'm not, shut the fuck up. I'm not wasting energy, you know. And once again, I try to be as non-dual as I can. But if you're like hardcore Trump, you know what I mean? It's hard, like. I'm not saying go off and die or something, but I don't want to engage. Like, there are certain things, if you want to call me a bad mom and judge me or whatever judgment. Well, I told a friend yesterday I was going to talk about the thing with my mom, and in a kind of judgy way slash hidden in concern and advice, she was like, don't do that. And I was like, excuse you, rude. More than that. But like, I have done work to get here. This isn't some like irrational decision. This is years and years of therapy and no longer being able to hold on to some of these dark truths on my own. Like, you know, once again, anyone who wants can feel free to beat it, you know? But like, none of us parents need to be judged or tell us the way you're supposed to live or whatever.
Yeah, it's, I mean, like, unless you're like beating your child or doing something like detrimental to them, you know? And you're not saying this for a reaction. Like, we're in a very reactive time in society that people say things just to get a reaction from people. But there are people out here who just want to speak their truth and just want to say those truths so that they can keep living and keep living strongly for their children.
Yes.
Because I have to, you know, from, I, you know, we talked about it. I do theater. I have a BFA in acting. I've acted since I was 6. I never thought there was anything else that I was going to do. My wonderful parents supported me in going and getting my BFA, even though I basically do nothing with it now. But when I had my son, it was sort of, he was a most welcome surprise. And I had just started getting back into acting, and then I got pregnant and obviously had a baby. And so I took about 7 years not doing anything really creative. I didn't act. I didn't really sing. I didn't write. I was just a mom, about as Leave It to Beaver as you can get. I did the dishes, I cooked meals, I vacuumed. All I needed was like the freaking heels and, you know, cone bra, and I maybe had some curlers in my hair or something. And then around, I guess, 4.5 years ago now, 5 years, something like that, I was in my parents' office because I was their office manager. So I was supposed to be working, but I wasn't. I was looking up auditions on the computer. And I saw that they were auditioning for my dream role, my dream show, which was A Streetcar Named Desire, Blanche DuBois, talk about a damaged soul who just wants to be happy. You know, I actually, whole other topic, I can relate to that character way more than I'd like to admit. But you know, I was like, oh, okay, well, it's probably too far away. I'm not going to audition. I'm, you know, whatever. And I looked it up. Okay, it was 30 minutes away. All right. Oh, well, they probably want someone older. Okay, oh no, the breakdown says someone in their, you know, late 20s, early 30s. Okay, that's me. And then of all things, and if you know Streetcar Named Desire, you know that she is normally a very pale, light blonde, fragile character. And at that point, my hair is blonde now, but it's actually dark, dark brown. And they actually wrote in the breakdown they were looking for someone who was dark and brunette. So I said, all right, there's no way they're going to cast anybody as Blanche that the director's never met before. That's a crazy thing to do. Like, what if I'm a horrible, horrible actor and I just butcher this whole role? Their show is screwed. This is a long story to get to a small point. But anyway, I ended up getting the role and it completely changed my life. I have never felt so alive again. I made one of my best friends was cast as Stella. We met during the audition. She was a mother too.
And this just happened recently, correct?
It was like 4 years ago.
Oh, four years ago. There was something I saw you in, I believe it was recent-ish, that you looked stunning.
Yeah, probably producers.
Okay.
I had the best wig. Oh my goodness. I'm a wig addict now. I'm an amazing professional wig addict.
That's awesome.
But anyway, I didn't realize how much was missing from my life. I didn't know that not having that creativity, that not working on a role, that not being creative was missing. I was happy being a mom. I was happy. I thought I was happy. But now, after that, I consistently started doing shows again. And I have to tell you, even though my kids can't come see everything that I do, no, I didn't bring them to Streetcar to watch me do a rape scene. No, I didn't bring them to Sweeney Todd, where people get their throats cut open. I'm not like a crazy mom.
Good decision.
But most of the time, I'll bring them to see my shows.
Yeah.
They are so proud of me. And
yeah,
they ask me now, like, when's your next show? When are you doing something? And no, I don't get paid for it, but I'm a different person because of it. Yet, hopefully. You know, I love that they're seeing that life's not just about making money, that life's not just about, you know, financial success, but it's also about soul success. Mm. Because they see that I'm happy, and my son came home with a little about you from his third grade class saying like what he wants to be when he grows up, what his parents do, all this stuff. And when I looked at like my mom is, and it said an actor, and it just like, it made me so happy because first of all, that's what I've always wanted to be. And second of all, he could have said like a mom or the person who wakes me up in the morning or my chef. Sometimes he tells me I'm his maid, you know, it's like, but he said I was an actor. And that means that I'm teaching my children something correct in that, you know, I'm teaching them something important. And there are people out there who judge me that I'm spending money on a babysitter. I'm going into rehearsal four nights a week. And when I'm in tech, I'm there every single night. And I basically don't see my children for about 2 weeks towards the end of a show. But then they come to the show and they see what I was doing. Well,
the people judging you can do what you said before. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah. And that's what it is. It's like, I don't like when, I don't know. I try really hard not to judge people for their lifestyles or their life choices.
And the judgments can be so hidden in like this weird concern, whether it's like that kind of a thing or I'm seeing it around the cultural appropriation thing. I'm all about respecting cultures, but there's something going on now where it's like, cause you know, I rap and it comes from a place of, you know, realness for me. And I love the Hindu deities, like Kali, someone that speaks to me, Ganesh. And there are some people that want to call something like, oh, a white girl, you know what I mean? And I'm just like, you're not going to use that either, that kind of judgment to silence me and my dreams and my soul. So they can come in so many forms, whether it's, oh, you're a parent, you're supposed to be doing this, or, oh, you're white, or oh, you're this color, or it doesn't matter what color you are, what size you are, like you get to be what you want to be. It's about breaking through your own illusions and confinements. And as your dad would say, like delusions, it's like, you're allowed to be who you are. We're just terrified. And I think we're both in a place where we're like learning how to shine without as much fear of like what's going to happen to me. Because unfortunately, a lot of us creative, sensitive souls that think a little bit differently, we get made fun of, you know, in elementary, middle, high school, and we learn how to like survive and try to look cool or whatever that means. And then you learn like, oh no, cool's being like weird and artsy. And sometimes I lose my temper. You know what I mean? Like, I think as a woman, it's like, don't be the, it's like, no. Like, I'm a dragon woman. You're a dragon woman. Like, we have fire that runs through our bones, and we're allowed to show it.
Well, and that gets funny because creative types, I was definitely a theater dork when I was younger. And I remember the popular kids. And I remember feeling like I just needed to have them like me. And I didn't change who I was, but like I was always so nervous around them. And as I've grown and as the person that I am now, I can actually say like, I really like who I am. I'm weird. I'm dorky. I do really weird things and I make really weird voices and I make fart jokes with my kids. Like hell, I have toilet humor. But I really like who I am. So this coming Saturday, I'm going back to my high school, not the one I graduated from, but the one I was at for a really long time with those girls who were so popular and made fun of me. And I was talking to my friend who's going too, and I said, you know, it's so weird. I'm so happy with who I am right now, but if I go back, when I go back there, I know that I'm going to revert immediately. Even if they're not there, I am going to revert to this anxious, nervous, shy, not sure of themselves person. And like, why is that? Like, I like who I am. I like that. I don't know. It's just strange. I forget where I was going with this, but.
Well, it's insecurities. It's like, yeah. No matter how old you are, we have these insecurities. And I was in the popular crowd and yet horribly depressed. Like, I was one of those people that, I guess externally, you know, I was this cheerleader, always smiling. Meanwhile, here I had this home life where I didn't even ever want to be home. When I was in high school, I had a boyfriend. I basically lived at his parents' place. I didn't want to be at my mom's or my dad's. And yet I was so good at hiding. You know what I mean? So it's like, I think across the board, like you can have done as much work as you want or, you know, look a certain way, but like insecurities and wounding is a whole other beast. And yet I think you and I both are tackling the root of like, okay, like why is there still so much self-hate? I mean, I think it's right now healing on for both of us, but it's like, oh, I'm allowed to just love myself even with my quirkiness, my anxieties, the rage that comes up, jealousy. It's like the full range of human emotion. And we're so ashamed, you know, for me, it's like when the fire comes through, it's like, I was texting my friend where I sent like an Urkel meme of like, did I do that? You know, like I'll have a thing. And then I'm like, whoa, but I'm like, no, don't be ashamed. Like so many of us sensitive people, we feel everything. We try to tell people that we don't get hurt and then we burst. And it's like, we're all working on ourselves because we don't want to burst. But like at the end of the day, we need to speak. We can't hold back. We need to share our truth. And I think, I don't know, it feels like you're going through like a really awesome burst yourself of like, it's not easy, but you're like, no, I'm going to make my life fucking killer because you are killer.
Well, I am. I mean, you know. I have to say, even though the separation with my husband's been really confusing, I think it's like literally the best thing that we have ever done. Yeah. Like, there's no way that we would have been able to figure anything out if we were just pushing through and faking shit and staying together for any sake, for his sake, for my sake. You know, I'm not going to go into full details, even though I am a big blabbermouth and most people already know all of the details, but out of respect for him, because he's kind of private. And you know, sometimes even things that we don't think are bad about ourselves, sometimes we change about ourselves just because it helps someone else. And we still do love each other. It's just a matter of, you know, are we a family or are we a family but not husband and wife? But you know, I mean, one thing that I will talk about in regards to, you know, feeling our feelings fully and not being ashamed of the feelings we're feeling fully. Like you were just talking about, like, oh, I just had this crazy fit of rage and, you know, oh, where did that come
from? It wasn't even, I felt like a crazy fit of rage. And it was like, honestly, just enough is enough, you know? And then I judged it as that when it wasn't. And that was part of my healing is like, and I think we're told that as little girls, like, oh, you're having a temper tantrum. And that's what gave me the thing is I remember being told all the time little, oh, you're having a fit of rage, you're having a temper tantrum. And then I think about it, I'm like, I was listening to my parents fight like crazy. I probably heard my mom talking about these memories. I probably heard my dad calling, you know, they got into really bad fights. And us sensitive people, we take it in. And then I had quote unquote temper tantrums that they were like, oh, wow, look at how crazy Katie's being. Meanwhile, I just heard and absorbed the craziest, most fucked up shit about cheating and all sorts of things going on, you know, but then don't talk about you. So that's why I think even there, it's like we label even as like a fit of rage instead of calling it, I don't know, like a what else could it be called?
I don't want to say outburst because
a big expression, a big release, you know, and
feeling.
Because like when we don't learn that, we try to release it into like casual sex stuff, which guys, look, I'm not a prude. I have a video called Labia Game. I'm clearly not a prude, you know, and yet we got to really, I'm telling you, where you put your penis or your vagina, you absorb the energy. It, you know, if you're looking for a release, I don't feel casual sex is it. If you need it to get by, do you. I'm not judging. But part of this evolution is like taking a step back and like claiming your own space and not just dipping it because you're feeling lonely. I know it's hard as shit. Call me. Get a healing. You know what I mean? Write an amazing play for Ariana to star in. Do something, but you can wrap it up a little bit too. Like chastity belt style. Just a little. That's not from a Prudy Judy place.
No, and it's also, I think that, you know, I've been talking about sort of society this day and age. We have no patience.
Exactly.
Anymore. There's no patience, even for feelings. Like, you know, again, your kid is going through a tantrum. Oh, we don't have time for this. What are you doing?
Why get it together.
Get it together. You know, you're not a baby. Get it together. You know, you know, there's just no time. And then it's the same thing. Oh, you want to get to know me? You want to get to know, see if we're compatible? It's like, no. I mean, look at Tinder. I mean, look at fucking Tinder. My friend is in a similar position. She's divorced now. Her husband, sort of similar to mine, sort of had this idea about polyamory, which is a whole other podcast conversation. But
I'm already going to say no. But yeah. I mean, not no to the podcast, but I'm already going to say my stance. That's a big hunk of mess.
But, oh, gosh.
Yeah. In my
opinion. That's a whole other story.
In my opinion. I'm sure there's some
people. I've learned so much about it. It's like more than I've ever wanted to know about anything. I could probably teach a class.
I have a podcast called Polyamory or Monogamy. I had a friend at the time who was polyamorous who went on to, and I, you know, I'm not, I listen. I take people in and I sat with it myself and I thought, and first of all, I have spent, unfortunately, years. I had one person in my life who really wanted to do threesomes. And I tried to be so open-minded. I didn't do it because I was about to write a book, The Neurotic Jew Tries a Threesome, just because, and obviously she doesn't do it because that's how much I was like, am I being a nerd? Am I not cool enough? Am I not open enough? I'm not sharing my dick. Not my dick. You know, I don't have a dick, although I have an energy penis. But you know what I mean? Like, I'm not, like, I can't, like, I just, it's a no. But whatever. Sorry. I just am very feisty about that.
I mean, like, again, I'm open to who...
I'm not sorry.
I'm open to the lives people want to live.
Yes.
But anyway, with this Tinder thing, the guy fucking stalked her because she didn't want to have sex. She didn't want to go back to his place. And she texted me that she was like camping out in her house because she was scared that if you look her up on the internet, you can get her address. And she was scared he was going to come because he got angry. He got angry. And I'm like, okay, yeah, well, it's Tinder. Maybe that's what's to be expected. But nothing should ever be expected. But people have no... Maybe he took her out again. Maybe if he wasn't expecting that on a first date, you know, it's like... Yeah, I mean, sex is great. Sex is fun. Sex is exciting. For me, it's... I don't know. I'm confident in who I am, but I'm also still that, you know, self-doubting
person. I think we all
are. So if I'm going to be like... full on naked with someone, I either have to be really drunk or I have to be like really comfortable with the person. I think I've had one night stand And it was so bad. It, like, I didn't even go do That's another one. That's what I'm saying. It was so bad.
Most people with the casual, the one night stands, like, it's like, oh, I did it. And the next day we're like crying, gutted out and fetal. Like it almost like feels or lo- not feels. It like seems like cool in this imaginary world. But like you, I think the hottest sex is when you're madly and passionately in love. And I think we've all had moments of those things, but like patience is going to be what gets us there. Like really, you know, coming into yourself, learning who you are and sniffing out situations with patience. It will get us so much farther so we can actually know who makes our heart for real go crazy. You know, not just like a pitter patter, like we deserve to be fully alive. But to do that, you have to be in your power. You have to know who you are. Otherwise, you're going to be so quick to give up who you are just to keep that relationship. And that's why I think like, the trial separation, I think no matter what happens, which I know is the scary part, but you win in the end because you're doing the work. Like as long as you go in and make sure you're going to kick it, you know, then you will. Like, you know, you can't. And I have another client who, you know, she's with the person, but there's a thing of like, how do I say, I don't want to, all I'll say is both parties need to be fully going in. I think going to therapy or a healer, being creative, but if one person is doing all that and then the other's not, it's going to fall off. And you can't fake it either. Like it's not just about therapy. It's like your presence, the way you come, the way, you know, your integrity, your intention. And you can't fake that. And I think you're already, not that you're doubting it, or maybe you are, but like in my eyes, very, you know, a lot of oneg positive net sock of like, I think you're having a lot of incredible victory of like what you're going to take and what you're not going to take and hood space for self. It's like, we all need a second to figure out who we are and create a space for ourselves. And like, I don't know, it sounds to me like we're both in a sense killing it. It's just hard. It's that thing again of like temper tantrum or whatever. It's like, we're allowed to cry and not be like, you're such a baby, you're throwing a temper tantrum. It's like, no, I'm crying. And if we don't cry, we're fucked.
Oh, I mean, I have to get my emotions out. First of all, I cry at literally everything. I mean, everything. It's, I don't know if it's a good thing. Like, you know, those Subaru commercials that come on? I cried every Subaru commercial. And on Netflix, it's always like the same commercial, you know, like it stops and it's the same commercials. I had a day where every time the same commercial came on in the 30-minute episode show that I was watching, I started crying. I'm like, what is wrong
You're
with
so
me?
You're so sensitive.
But it was. And it was a commercial about, like, you know, families, kids growing up. And it wasn't just out of the blue. I cry when series are over. I've watched The Office all the way through 5 times. And I cry every single time because the show's over and I'm going to miss the characters so much.
Aw.
You know, so I'm very sensitive. My thing is I don't get angry a lot. And I do have a friend who thinks I'm insane. He thinks I don't feel anger. I guess this is the way I should put it. I do feel angry. I don't always feel that my energy is best used on anger.
Interesting. I have learned, well, for me, my raps have gotten me through some real dark, angry places because the emotion was like swirling like a tornado. So for me, I would say channel it. I mean, I'm not telling you what to do. Anyone listening, channel it into art as best you can. Even if it's like stream of consciousness writing. I've sometimes written things, quote unquote, poems or not even poems. It was like, fuck, fuck this. But you know what I mean? Like 10 million fucks on a paper. But that in a sense could be a poem of sometimes the human experience. And I think like rage has a place. We're so ashamed of our rage. Like, I'm a monster. You know, it's like, it needs, as your dad would say, put it on the table. It needs a place. And like, for me, it's been either rap or writing or dancing ferociously. But like, especially with, well, women and men, but like women, it's like, oh no, now I'm not a lady. You know, it's like, or the word compassion. Sometimes compassion to yourself is allowing the rage to erupt. Like you wouldn't look at a volcano and be like, you're not being really compassionate. Your lava's kind of spilling out. Do you know what I mean? Like there's a reason for these things. And like, yeah, I don't love all the volcanoes or the fucking awful fires going on. But like, it's the holographic nature of reality. Like we need a place for our rage. We have to find a way to channel it, you know, not just the volcano needs a blog and we need blog. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, well, I mean, and my parents helped me with that because my parents are both therapists and very open. And I do like freestyle writing and things like that just to get it off. And my mom, yeah. My mom the other day when I was really upset over the weekend about something in my separation, she was like, and I don't mean this in a weird way, and it's just in a psychological way. I'm not, please, police don't come. She was like, you have to kill him.
Yeah, obviously, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not really going to kill anybody, nor is my mother.
Just the fact that you had to explain that, like, it's so, that's what I'm saying, though. It's like, you say the word, and they're like, oh, you know, it's like, Ariana, Kate, it's like, obviously, you know, or your mom, like, it's like, I'm not, if you knew her mom, too, like, you know, she wouldn't harm, like, you know what I mean? Like,
anybody.
Yeah, but we're allowed to say it.
But what
anyway,
I did, which felt good, was, she was like, find something to hit with. I was like, oh, I'm like, I don't have anything. I literally don't have anything in my house. So I took my kid's baton and I hit his side of the bed and I screamed and I hit and I said, I hate you. I hate you. Like, fuck you. Like, I hate you. And I just beat his side of the bed.
Not like yes to, you know what I mean? Yes, yes to getting it out.
Yes.
Not like actual.
But it was because it allowed me, first of all, to process it, to not take it out on him.
Yeah.
To be able to rationally talk to him about the feelings I was really feeling, which I was very, very upset. I was very hurt, but it allowed me to say those words. It didn't allow me, it allowed me not to scream at him, which doesn't get people anywhere usually, especially if you know my husband, he shuts down when women get hysterical and angry from people in his past. So if I actually want to get through to him, like, that's just not the way.
Yeah. So, I've made that mistake a lot.
Yeah. So it allowed me to actually process my thoughts in a healthy way. But in that moment, I was like fucking beating the shit out of, metaphorically beating the shit out of someone who really hurt me. And in that process, allowing myself to actually feel that anger and hurt. Because if you don't actually feel it, then it's not processed. Then you're not going anywhere. And then it's just pushed down deep.
Your mom and dad have in that in the back.
Bob?
Yes. and it's like this Bob the punching bag, I guess. Yes. And I was like, oh, I need one. Like, especially for my son who's 12. Like, anger is real. Can you imagine? If I had to sit right now for 7 hours in public school at a desk, I would need to come home and punch something. Like, so I think honestly, it needs to be almost in every person's house, some kind of punching bag, a bob or like the more typical looking one, but like maybe hitting it with a baton, a bat, but like our hands, we need to release this and not feel so bad. And look, you could still hear me and you still a little bit apologizing, you know? So we're you know, it's one thing to say, it's another thing to embody, but we're trying to be like, I'm not apologizing for my human range of emotions. And as we really start to claim that, oh my God, everything's going to shift. Cause even like, even with your husband, like when he hits his place where he's like, no, I'm going to be who I am. I'm going to talk about it. I'm going to cry. I'm going to rage. Like, I'm going to create. Like, when we all really get there, it's going to be so beautiful for all of us. It's going to be such sweet relief. It's going to be unreal.
Well, and that's what he's going through right now. Like, there were specific incidences that happened that caused the separation, but really it was that he is trying to figure out how he can live his happiest life.
Yes.
And I mean, I certainly want that, because why would I want to be with someone who's not happy with me? Why would I want to be in a marriage for my whole life with someone who's not wanting the same things as me? Like, he could love me, but if he doesn't want to be married, if he doesn't want a family life, like, I have two kids. I'm always going to be a mom. He's always going to be a dad. But he doesn't have to be a full-time dad. Yeah. He doesn't have to be someone's husband. He does have to, like, be in their lives, which he is. And he's very, very, I'm very fortunate because he's really stepped up as their dad through all of this. But, like, I wouldn't want to be with someone who's unhappy, because then that just makes me unhappy.
Amen. That's what we have to realize. Like, if you're forcing someone to stay with you, or you know, that's not love for you. Or them, or that, it's not love for them or you, really, because we want someone, we both just, you know, in a partnership, you want to be happy and free, and no one can feel like they're forced to be there, because that sucks for both, right? It's like, I want you to want to be here, but, you know, I've had to learn, well, if you want someone to really want to be there, you got to work on yourself, whatever that means. You know, I have to become happy. I have to become solid in who I am. And I want to know who I am, even though that's always ever changing. But yeah.
Well, and that's what it is. We are always changing. And there's no, there's no written contract that you and your spouse, partner, husband, wife are going to change at the exact same time. You know, you're not. You're going to change at different times. And one of you is going to grow. You can't see my hands. One of you is going to grow this way and the other one's going to grow that way. And it's about being okay that at those moments you're growing in different directions, but knowing that that person you're with is the person that you would be okay growing apart from and growing together. It's not linear. I saw a, I think it was on Facebook. I'm on Facebook way too much. That someone was saying, comparing life to a heart monitor and basically saying that, you know, we expect this life to be this linear straight line that's perfect and just so predictable and straight. But like on a heart monitor, if you have a straight line, you're dead. There's nothing going on. Your heart's dead. Your brain's dead. It's one straight line. When your heart is working, when you're alive, it's all these ups and downs.
Yeah.
Constantly. There's big peaks and low valleys and there's little ones. And that's really what life is like. It's these big high moments, these really low, low moments, but it's showing us that we're alive. And without that, we'd just be a straight line. And so...
That's beautiful.
Yeah. I mean, I wish I could take credit for it, but someone, thank you, someone on Facebook.
No, I love that. And I'm trying to learn through, you know, my own exploration and the work of the school, how to hold both the ups and the downs together more. Cause I sometimes bounce around. I'm up high, I'm down low, you know, and I would like to feel the ups and downs while not maybe being my, and this is on me, not jerking myself around so much, but that just takes time, you know, and healing. And I'm so happy you came on. We're about to wrap up, but like, it really means a lot to me.
No, I'm so excited. I was nervous for my first podcast, but I feel like we talked about good stuff.
You fucking rocked it. Like, I'll tell you more. I'll compliment you more when we get off to not, you know, but, and I'll pull cards for you after.
Okay.
But where can people find you if you want to be found? Like, where can they follow you on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, website?
I am not a tweeter because I'm confused by it. But you can find me on Instagram. My Instagram handle is @littlemiss_now. And that's probably the best way to find me because it's public. I do a lot of posts about renovating my house from the 1880s and being a mom and being an actor. And it's pretty truthful. So if you want just some fun posts, and I write people back. So if you write me, I'll write you.
Awesome. And that's really nice because you might get some people for real going through a similar thing who...
Oh, yeah. If anyone's going through something similar, like I'm friends at the gate with people. I figure everybody's a friend unless you do something to... Or you tell me that you're not my friend.
Don't judge her or piss her off. She'll tell you to shut the fuck up.
I'll tell you to shut the fuck up. Don't judge me. I'm sorry.
Yeah, we say it and then I'll immediately apologize and include that.
I'm sorry, you are my friend.
Shut the fuck up. I love you. I love you. Okay, and for me, let's see. Oh, so I have a show that you're probably coming to.
Yes, I am. I'm coming.
Yes. Coming up, it's called Comedy Seance. I'm doing it with Allison Charles, the rock star shaman. She's amazing. And one of my other favorite people, Jess Grippo, who's like, she's like such a hybrid of so many cool things. She's like a dancer, healer, life coach, speaker. I mean, and Allison's like, she told me, Allison has, it's like a mystic, she's like a mystic explorer, shaman. They're both amazing women. And it's going to be a variety show with stand-up, comedic dancing. Allison's going to be doing, she doesn't exactly know, but when she did my show Unicorn Tits, she was doing like past life regressions on stage. It was unreal. And then we have Lil Young Big, a rapper, and two comics. So come out. That is January 6th at 6 p.m. Use promo Seance for $10 tickets. It's at New York Comedy Club's new 4th Street location in the East Village. So I'd love to have you guys there. And follow me Instagram, Twitter at the Kate Wolf. If you want a healing or a tarot card reading, kwolf27@gmail.com. 2 Fs. And thank you all so much for listening. And thank you, Ariana, again for coming on.
Of course. I'm so happy I was here.
Me too. All right. Bye.